Well, good morning and welcome to church this morning. Welcome to Inglewood Community Church as I come to you this morning from Triggs Beach in Perth, Western Australia. It is a stunning day, a great day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. And if you're at home, I'd love you to say he is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Indeed he is. I grew up around here actually, very comfortable in these surrounds. This is Trigg Beach in Perth, Western Australia. And I grew up here and spent a lot of time here fishing and swimming and snorkeling. I love the beach and I love the smell of the salt and the coolness of the water. Spending time with my family. I'm a little bit weird actually. I love driving when I get the chance, when I go to some type of beach, I love driving my car down onto the beach and driving home. You've got salt throughout the carpet, you've got salt all over it, and I actually enjoy that because it reminds me that I've had a really good day, a good day out in the surf and a good day out with the family, maybe a good day even catching some fish. In fact, my favorite resurrection story is the story of Easter, where Jesus appears to his disciples on the beach. It's such a great story, such an earthy story. A reminder that the early disciples were fishermen, that Jesus called them to become fishers of people, not just of fish. After Jesus had died, and we remember that on Good Friday, he rose from the dead. The resurrection story is in the Gospels, and it's an incredible story, a triumph over sin, a triumph over death. And that's what we celebrate today, is this celebration of Jesus as he conquered sin and conquered death. But the disciples' reaction is what I'm really interested in this morning and what sort of tickles my fancy. We can read this story, and if you have your Bible, you can read along or you can just listen this morning. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And so interesting because John, who wrote this gospel, was Jesus's best mate. But the person, the disciple that often speaks up a lot is actually Peter. And Peter is the outspoken one. John is the more thoughtful one, perhaps. And he wrote this book, the Gospel of John. In John chapter 21, verse 3, they have seen Jesus risen from the dead, but now he's not with them. And perhaps they don't know what to do. So Peter says something which I love saying. And I love a day when you wake up and you say what Peter said. Peter says, "I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." I love that. A good day is a day when you wake up and you know you're going fishing. The disciples, his mates, they agree. And they say this, "We're going to come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, and this is typical. Typical of me and maybe typical of you. The Bible says they caught nothing all night. I can relate to Peter so much because I've been fishing a lot, and there are days when I go out fishing and I'm hopeful and I've got my bait and I've found a good place and I catch nothing. Of course, the difference is that these guys were professional fishermen. This was their job. They knew the best spots. They knew the best bait. They knew where they should catch fish. So perhaps it's a little bit unusual for them that they didn't catch fish. Not unusual for me, but maybe unusual for them. This story is about so much more than fishing. It's a story about provision. It's a story about miracles. It's a story of fresh chances and a new day. In verse 4 of John 21, Jesus, it tells us that Jesus was standing on the beach, but his disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Mates or fellows, have you caught any fish?" He knew they hadn't caught fish. I don't think he's rubbing it in. He just wants to make a point. And they replied, "No, we have not." Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Now, these are big, strong, burly fishermen. And these are guys who knew what they were doing. And Jesus says, "Throw the net out on the other side." And they're like, "Yeah, okay, Jesus, if you say so, that's what we'll do." Not necessarily even believing that there were fish on this side of the boat, but there weren't fish on this side of the boat. You know, this is one of the reasons why I love Jesus. I don't think there'll be fishing in heaven, but if there is fishing in heaven, I guarantee we're all going to get a really good catch. We're all going to catch really good fish. this story doesn't happen in heaven. It happens here on earth. But Jesus, in this moment, has actually brought heaven to earth. He's brought his power. He's brought the fact that he can do miracles. He's brought the fact that when provision for us, when we're at the end of what we can do, he can do more. And he can provide in ways that we can't even provide for ourselves. These fishermen, this group of mates, have followed Jesus around for 3 years. They've seen him in the best of circumstances, and they've seen him in the worst of circumstances. They've seen him when he was up there speaking, and the religious people of the day were dumbfounded at the strength of his words. They did not know what to say. They've seen him when he said, "Bring the children to me," and he blessed them. They've seen him when he fed the 5,000. They've seen him when he performed a miracle at the wedding and the water was turned into wine. They've seen him at his best moments and they've celebrated. They've also seen him at some of his worst moments, when he wept over Jerusalem because the people wouldn't believe, when he was led to the cross and he was struck and he was wounded and people insulted him and people left him and people betrayed him. They've seen him in all those circumstances. And so now, as he once again provides for them in a miraculous, in a kind, in a wonderful way, they're going to see him again. Recently, I was going through a bit of a tough time myself, and I went off to a little fishing town that I like going to all by myself, and I spent 3 nights there just doing some fishing and just doing some relaxing, doing some snorkeling and some swimming. And I did actually catch some fish. It was a good day. I caught some fish. But as I was sitting there I was up to my waist in the water, just casting my rod out, not necessarily catching anything, I just found myself praying. And I just found myself reflecting upon all the things that happen in my life. It's really good for us, for you, to find moments where we recenter ourselves with the Creator of the universe, with God. It's really important that we find moments that we can see Jesus and see his provision and see what it is that he's done in the past, that he will do now, and that he will do in the future. You can trust him. You can see him on the beach. You can hear him instructing you and telling you what to do. As they pull in these nets, bulging with fish, bulging with this miraculous provision from God, I'm thinking that Jesus is reminding them again that he is Lord, that he is God, that he is the master and the ruler, the creator of the universe. There's a word for someone here that's listening today. This may be a word for you. Jesus has risen from the dead. He is powerful. He conquered everything that life could possibly throw at him. And he was victorious over it. Life threw its absolute worst at him on Good Friday. But on Easter Sunday and on this day down at the beach, the disciples once again reconnected with the Savior of the universe, the one who provides. The story goes on in verse 7. And the disciple that Jesus loved, which is John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord! It's Jesus!" They hadn't recognized him, but when they saw the miracle, they recognized him. When Simon Peter heard that it was Jesus, he put on his tunic, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, and I love this bit about the story, when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. You know that word charcoal? That appears in the New Testament when Peter is warming his hands over the embers, over the charcoal, as he betrays Jesus. And the smell of the charcoal, the smell of the cooking fish, I reckon was wafting over the ocean as Peter ran to Jesus. I wonder if he remembered the fact that he had betrayed Jesus. I wonder if he remembered the fact that he had let Jesus down as he smells that charcoal. "Bring some of the fish you've caught," Jesus said. Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord, Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he'd been raised from the dead. You know, this story and the story of Easter and the resurrection, it just reminds me of where my provision comes from. It reminds you of where your provision comes from. You know, sometimes we don't see Jesus. Sometimes we don't recognize him. Sometimes he's distant on the shore. And it's not until we get a bit closer and we see the miracle and we hear the voice that we say, yeah, there is Jesus. You know, for many of us, and maybe for you, this is a rough time. Maybe there's a lot of stuff you're going through. Maybe there's some difficulties. I don't know. I don't actually know your circumstance. But I do know that at Easter, as we celebrate together, we recognize the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. And there is a miracle for you. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much that Jesus rose from the dead. Thank you so much, Lord, that he is for us and with us and he provides for us. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful story of provision. I want to pray right now for anyone who is feeling sick or feeling tired or anxious or afraid or just feeling that they need some comfort. May they find you. May they see you. May they know your voice speaking for them. You are the miracle-working God. And today, Lord Jesus, we celebrate you and we celebrate your goodness.